Amen. So today we're going to have our third installment on the Sermon on the Mount. This portion is coming from Matthew chapter 6, and it's called Store Up for Yourselves Treasures in Heaven. You know, the Bible, I've really enjoyed studying this out. You know, the Bible really doesn't say a whole lot about Jesus from age 12 to when he started his ministry. But when you read the Sermon on the Mount and you look at his parables, you start to see that Jesus was very involved in his community because he talked a lot about what he observed every single day. And, you know, he was a carpenter. He was involved in the marketplace. He also went to church. He was in a synagogue. So he had strong feelings about the things that he saw each and every day because he was seeing them through spiritual eyes. And that's our challenge as we go through our days every day, to look at the world through spiritual eyes, the same kind of eyes that Jesus had. I'm going to read through the full chapter. And when I read through, I want you to pay attention to some key words. First key word is when as opposed to if. Reward, which is something given or received in recompense or worthy behavior or in retribution for evil acts, or to satisfy or gratify. The other word or phrase is Heavenly Father or Father in Heaven, which you'll hear 12 times throughout this text, which signifies God's role as life-giver, an authority, and a powerful protector, often viewed as immense, omnipotent, which is all-powerful, omniscient, there you go, omniscient, which is all-knowing, and omnipresent, which is everywhere at one time, with infinite power and charity that goes beyond human understanding. A few other words: secret, not known or seen or not meant to be known or seen by others, something that is kept or meant to be kept unknown or unseen by others. Hypocrite, a person who pretends to have virtues, moral or religious beliefs, principles, etc., that he or she does not actually possess. The literal translation is actor. And the final word is pagan, one who has little or no religion and who delights in sensual pleasures and material goods, an irreligious or hedonistic person, a person who follows polytheistic religion. So we're going to start reading in verse 1. And just again, look out for those words. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, your Father will have no reward. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Acts of righteousness. Jews considered primary acts of righteousness to be giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. But what they did not realize or didn't seem to understand, some of them anyway, was that righteousness is not primarily a matter between a person and other people, but between a person and God. In this passage where Jesus focused on giving to the needy, the Pharisees made a great show of giving to the needy. It says, in the synagogue and in the streets. They were trying to prove that they were righteous by having a demonstration, more or less, of their giving. But the word tells us that we should be giving in secret, not letting our left hand know what our right hand is doing. And it says that God will reward us for that. You know, I think about the widow's offering in Luke chapter 21. You don't have to turn there, but it says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts in the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Jesus noticed the rich people first because they made it obvious. The rich people used to go into the synagogue and either jiggle their coins or hold them high above the collection device and drop them in so all the people could see them. You know, and you know, we need to have an attitude that when we give, and he says when, it's not if you give, it's not like it's optional, you know, it's expected of us to give, that we're not doing it as a demonstration for men to be honored by men. Jesus says if that's what we do, then that's the reward that we're going to get. Honor from men, that's all we can expect. We cannot expect a reward from God. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use will be measured to you. You know, a lot of churches use that scripture in prosperity gospel just to encourage people to give more. But what the scripture says is that what you do in secret, God sees. He's hidden, but he sees what you do, and he sees your motives, and he sees your heart. And so we want to give in secret with the right motives. Amen? Jesus goes on to talk about prayer in verse 5. It says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who was unseen. Jesus tells his disciples to be not to be like the people who act like they have a relationship with God but really don't. That was by definition what a hypocrite was, an actor, someone who was pretending to have this type of relationship. You know, Jesus tells them don't be like the pagans. In this sense, it's the pagans, polytheistic pagans, who believed in many gods. And so a lot of the rulers or the rich people of that time, teachers in the synagogue, would use the many names that God is known by, Jehovah Jireh, Adonai, all the different words, thinking that because of their many words, God would hear them, but also they were thinking that they were impressing other people by their knowledge of what God was. You know, but Jesus says, go alone by yourself, you know, into the corner, into your closet, in what some texts say, so that you can be alone with God. And he says, you don't have to babble. You don't have to go on and on about what you need, because God already knows what you need. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Then he gives an outline in the Lord's Prayer. But one thing that I did want to point out was that, you know, Jesus, this was Jesus' practice to get along with God. You can write these scriptures down. In Matthew 14:23, it says, after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Mark 1:35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Mark 6:46, after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. In Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We need to have that secret relationship with God. You know, our relationship with God should be something that's secret, but it's obvious to everyone else. Does that make sense? Right. Amen. Jesus gave us an outline, what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. More accurately, it's probably should be called the Disciples' Prayer, but, you know, just basically says, you know, our God that's in heaven, may your will be done on earth, not our will, but your will. And forgive us our debts. Give us the bread that we need every day just to sustain us. Help us to fight off temptation, things that we see, things we don't see that are coming our way that we're often blindsided by. You know, and deliver us from the evil one. We have to remember that we have an adversary, an evil one who is out to trip us up at every step. You know, then he goes on to say, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, you know, he doesn't say if you forgive other people, if in the rare circumstance something accidentally happens, he says when someone sins against you. You know, if you're in this world, you know, somebody's going to do you wrong. If you're in this world, you're going to do somebody else wrong. You know, but we have to forgive one another. And he says if you do not forgive, then God will not forgive you. So that's definitely something to think about. Jesus goes on to talk about fasting. A few weeks ago, I went on a fast. It had been a while, 18 days. I did what's commonly called the Daniel fast. You guys familiar with that? Where you don't have any meat or any rich foods, basically vegetables, and drink water. And it wasn't the easiest thing I'd done in a while, but it was very good for me, very, very good for me. And one of the main things about it was, you know, at work, people were seeing me eating salads and drinking water, and it's like, well, what kind of diet are you on? I was able to say, I'm not on a diet, I'm on a fast, which gave me the opportunity to share. You know, so I wasn't doing it to be noticed by people, but because I was doing it, I was able to share my faith. Amen? Specifically, the scripture says fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know, we saw in three circumstances here, I'm going to come back to fasting, but it said, when you give to the needy, God will reward you. It says, when you pray, God will reward you. When you fast, God will reward you. And it's not so much what you're asking for or what you're fasting for, it's the fact that you're doing it. You know, these are the acts of righteousness. And so, you know, you might say, okay, where's my reward? I'm doing all these things. You know, that's where the treasures in heaven comes in. You know, the rewards are not necessarily the things that we see every day, the things we drive, the places we live. Is we're storing up treasures in heaven by doing the things that God expects from us. God wants to meet us in secret places. God is our heavenly Father. He loves us. He protects us. He wants to have that relationship with us. Those of us that have kids, you know that, hey, you give them stuff just because they're your kids. Sometimes they don't even deserve it, you know, but you give them stuff because they're your kids. He wants and expects us to have pure motives. Jesus mentioned several times that if you're seeking the praises of men, then that's all the reward you're going to get. You've received your reward in full. You know, God's not going to reward you if your motives aren't pure. In other words, he just wants you to keep it real. He doesn't want you to be like the hypocrites, you know, who are just putting on a show. You know, there was a plane that was traveling overseas, and a gentleman got sick on the plane, and a guy came rushing in from first class and said, hey, so clear the area, loosen up his tie, you know, prop his head up, you know, and people were looking at him and say, one guy said, hey, aren't you George Clooney? And the guy says, yeah, I'm George Clooney. He says, are you a doctor? He says, no, but I play one on TV. You know, so we don't want to be, you know, we don't want someone to say to us, you know, are you a Christian? Say, no, but I play one on Sunday. You know, I play one on Thursday. You know, let's not be like the hypocrites. God knows our needs. Again, he wants that private relationship with us that's obvious to everybody else. And when he rewards us with treasures in heaven. Starting in verse 19, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin, or in some cases rust, destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And I just want to share with you, originally, Bishop Collier had asked me to teach on Matthew chapter 7. Which will be done in 2 weeks by Joe Washington, and Joe was going to do this class. But I had something come up on work once a year where we got to go in on the weekend, so I switched with Joe to do this particular lesson. And lately on my job, over the last few months, there have been a number of layoffs. So just to hedge my bets, I started, you know, looking for other opportunities outside the company. And I went to school, got my insurance license, and started up with a company that does financial services, and it's direct sales, and of course the whole incentive of the company is to what? Make money. You know, if you're in direct sales, then you know your whole incentive for going out there every day is to make money. And this particular company really talks about it a lot. You know, and I've met some very interesting people. I've met millionaires. Got them on my cell phone. We talk all the time. You know, they say they have incentives for you. If you get to a certain level, they're going to give you a clothing allowance. You get to the next level, they give you a car. Not just a car, but a Mercedes. You get to the next level, then it's the Range Rover. And it just goes on and on. And I'm like, wow, you know. It started getting a little exciting, you know what I mean? And then, you know, I get the call to do a class. And I look here and it's like, hey, do not store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. I mean, treasures on earth. I said, okay, God, you know, I'm getting the message. I'm a little slow, but I think I can see this one. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. This is the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide your inheritance with me. Jesus replied, man, who appointed me judge or arbiter between you? Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store up my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. Yeah, I thought of a lot of things to say, but I thought this pretty much said it better than anything I could come up with. But, you know, God, you know, he just makes it so plain that there's two distinctions. There's treasures on earth and there's treasures in heaven, and they're opposed to one another. You know, so we have to be very careful because reading this particular scripture, Luke 12, I think this is the most American scripture I've ever heard. Amen. You know, because that's our society. It's like when you make a little more, then you go and buy a little more. Okay, when that gets old or you don't like it anymore, buy something else. And it's a continual cycle that gets us in a lot of trouble. It gets us in a lot of trouble. And then when you spend all you have on what you can get, then you have nothing else to give. You know, and remember, it was like when you give to the needy, not if you give. It's not like it's optional. You know, we've got the special contribution coming up. You know, are we so caught up in our debt or the things that we want to buy that we're not going to be able to give the way our brothers and sisters in Africa need us to give? Amen? Starting in verse 22, it says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, and your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Again, we talked about earlier that Jesus looked at everything through spiritual eyes. You know, if your eyes aren't spiritual, if you're seeing the world from an unhealthy state of point of view spiritually, then your whole body is in darkness. Your whole spirit is in darkness. In Luke chapter 16, it's the parable of the shrewd manager. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but we'll start in verse 8. I guess you guys know it, where the manager wasn't doing well. His boss was going to fire him. He went and canceled everybody's debts or reduced their debts. But starting with verse 8, it said, "The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, but whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" So he doesn't say what true riches are, but it's obvious it's not worldly wealth. It's something totally different. It's treasures in heaven. It goes on to say, "No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your heart. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." That's a frightening scripture, you know, but it goes back to the eyes, you know, that the Pharisees, they saw things through the eyes of money and also to try and impress others. But the things that we value here on earth a lot of times, God finds utterly detestable. The scripture goes on to say, as we read in Luke, but also here, that no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he talks about riches are meaningless. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. He says, and I'm going to just pick out some of the points here, the high points. It says, "As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them?" It says, "Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with the income. This too is meaningless." He says, "I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners, or wealth lost through some misfortune, that when they have children, there is nothing left for them to inherit. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing for their toil, and they can carry that they can carry in their hands." Excuse me. "As everyone comes, so they depart. And what do they gain? All this is the toil of the wind. All their days they eat in darkness with great frustration, affliction, and anger." You know, it's the deceitfulness of wealth. You know, we go out, we spend a lot of time. Sometimes, you know, we have a couple of jobs. Sometimes it's to make ends meet. You know, we understand that. You know, but you have to examine yourself to see if it's to make ends meet or do you just want more ends? You know, do you just want more? And that's what Solomon is talking about. Just whoever loves wealth just never has enough. Always going after it. You know, but, you know, if you are fortunate, and we're all fortunate, you know, I'm at a point in my life, you know, although I've made some serious financial mistakes along the way, that I don't need anything, you know. But it's tempting It's tempting to go out there and try to make more money, try to achieve a certain status. You know, but you know, what we need to be concerned about is our status in heaven and the treasures in heaven. Jesus goes on to tell us, do not worry about what you will eat, what you'll drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is that life more than food and the body more than more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, Jesus doesn't say that you can't subtract hours from your life by worrying. You know, a few years ago, when the financial meltdown hit, you know, I had picked the precise wrong time to get involved in real estate. You know, I bought some properties, you know, they were fairly good deals, you know, but then the bottom of the real estate industry fell out. You know, my 401k had been doing good, and then it just ended up being K. You know, wasn't anything else in there. No 401, it was just K. And I was like, man, but you know, I'm a cool guy. You know, I have faith, you know, and, you know, my blood pressure is always low, you know, but I'm driving home from work, and I guess I was thinking about all this stuff. I'm coming down Highway 78, and I'm feeling a little tightness in my shoulder, you know, so I said, well, you know, I did do some push-ups this morning. Maybe that's all it is, you know. Then I started feeling a little tightness around my neck, and I was like, wow. You know, and then I was like, you know what? This might be the big one. You know, I started feeling, I was sweating and everything. So I drove myself to the emergency room. Went in there, they checked me out, they gave me EKG and nitroglycerin tablets and all this other stuff. They scheduled me for a stress test. A couple days later, you know, everything was negative, nothing's wrong with my heart. I was like, wow, what's going on, you know? So I went to a holistic doctor, a nutritionist, and he did a couple of tests, and he said, okay, we looked at your nervous system. He says, you have two nervous systems. You have the sympathetic nervous system, which controls your heartbeat and your eyes and blinking and all that stuff. Then you have the parasympathetic, which is your fight or flight response. He said, now when you're sitting down, normally they should be kind of even. He said, yours are like this. My fight or flight responses were off the charts. I was totally, totally stressed out. I didn't even realize it. But you know, that's what worrying with what things in the world can do to you if you're not careful. You know, and you know, so I started talking to a lot of people about it. You know, I said, I gotta get this off of me. You know, I'm praying about it and talking to God about it, and you know, I'm healthy, there's nothing going on with me now. But that's just what can happen if you worry. You can subtract days from your life. I'm sure if I hadn't gotten things checked out, you know, I might have checked out. Amen? So let's not worry. Jesus says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow, do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. You know, God's going to take care of us. You know, in a nutshell, we don't have to worry about, you know, what we'll eat, what we'll drink. You know, and if we're worried or concerned about riches, we don't need to be. We can just store up for ourselves treasures in heaven where we don't have to worry about them being stolen or eaten or destroyed. You know, and if you want a big house, John 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and you know the way, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus has prepared treasures in heaven for us. We can contribute to that investment by doing the things that we need to do, giving to the needy, praying, fasting, treating our brothers and sisters with love, doing the things that God expects from us. And one day, you know, we'll all have a mansion in heaven. Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you guys very much. Let's go get our kids and come back for service.